Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with another lesson from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This time we're looking at question and answer 38. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? At the resurrection, believers, being raised up in glory, shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed to the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Yes, friends, Jesus Christ will come a second time in glory, and the dead will be raised. The Catechism teaches us that there will be a general resurrection. In other words, all the dead will be raised at once, and then there will be a separation of the believers from the unbelievers. The believers will be taken into glory to live forever with the Lord, and unbelievers will suffer unbelievable torment for eternity, separated from the love and the grace and the mercy of God. One of the texts to which we turn in this regard is John chapter 5 and verses 25 and following. This text, first of all, has to do with our Lord Jesus Christ renewing individuals like you and me by causing us to be born again. And then the second part of the text has to do with Christ coming a second time in glory and raising the dead from the grave. Listen to the text. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. In other words, the time has come and is present when Jesus Christ, through the proclamation of the gospel, speaks to men and women like us, like you and me, and when we hear his voice born into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and he causes us to be born again, we have new life. This is what he's talking about. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Those who are dead in sin are brought to new life by a spiritual resurrection from the dead. Jesus goes on to say, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. God has life in himself, God the Father. God the Son has life in himself, just as the Father has life in himself. They are the Father and the Son. They are the author of new life in the hearts of men and women like you and me, as also is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ has been given the prerogative of judging the world. And he will come a second time in glory to carry out this work. And so he goes on to say, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Jesus Christ will come a second time in glory, and the dead will be raised. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice. You see, again, we're speaking about a general resurrection. And come out. They will come out of the tomb. Those who have done good to a resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. In other words, there will be a separation of believers and unbelievers. And the judgment is according to your works. This is also what the book of Revelation tells us. But mark this now. You see, It's not that you have done anything good in your life in order to earn a position before God. No, God has caused you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And when you heard the voice of Christ in the Word of God, reading it or in hearing it proclaimed or hearing it read in church, and you were given new life, you were born again, your life was changed, and you began to act differently, and there was new fruit in your life. You did things differently, that is, you followed to the best of your ability the Word of God and performed good deeds, and those good deeds were an evidence of the fact that you are or you were genuinely born again by the Holy Spirit. And so the new birth and the good deeds that you performed were connected together. They verified the fact that you indeed are born again. And in the resurrection, those who have been believers and have performed good works as a result of having received new life from God are brought up out of the grave to be with God forever and ever. Another text to which we turn is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 15 and following. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about the resurrection from the dead. "For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Sometimes much is made of the fact that when Jesus Christ comes a second time in glory, there will be those who have not died. There will be those who have been left alive to meet the Lord, and they will not enter the grave. But Paul is telling us in this passage that those who remain alive at the coming of the Lord do not have a special advantage over those who have died and have been buried." Listen to what he goes on to say. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Christ will come again a second time in glory, and the trumpets of heaven will announce his coming, and all will recognize the fact that the Lord is coming, and the dead in Christ will rise first and be placed on an equal plane with those who remain alive." You see, those who remain alive will not have a special advantage. They will all be together then, a group having been raised from the dead, and those who remain alive. And then the scriptures go on to say, "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." In other words, the dead will be raised and put on an equal plane with those who remain alive, and then all together, those individuals who have been raised and those who remain alive will be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. Imagine the scene, dear friends. There are those who ask the question, well, what happens to our bodies then? Our bodies will be made glorious bodies in the resurrection. The Apostle Paul argues this way in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39. He says, "For not all flesh is the same. There is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish." We know this is the case. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. And so there are different kinds of bodies and different stages, if you will, or positions of glory. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say then about the resurrection, what is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor is raised in glory. What is sown in weakness is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. We are now in our natural bodies, living in this world, suited to be individuals who live in this world on the earth with the atmosphere around us, and we carry on our lives quite nicely, thank you very much. The fish of the sea are in a different condition. They are in a different habitat. They live in the ocean or in rivers or in lakes, and they are not surrounded by air. If you take a fish out of the water and place it on the dry ground, it will gasp. The fish needs to be in the water. And it is suited and built by God to live in the water. What will happen to us? Listen again. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. In other words, we will be raised and given bodies that are suitable for the climate, the atmosphere, the place of heaven. We will be reconstituted and given bodies that are suited for life in heaven. And here, the Apostle Paul calls these bodies spiritual bodies. And so there's a general resurrection, and we will be raised from the dead. Christ will come a second time in glory, and the dead will be raised, and then we will stand before our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what will take place then. When the Son of Man, this is Matthew 25, 31 and following. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." You will be openly acknowledged by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you will be openly acknowledged by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to this extent. "Come, you who have been blessed by My Father." How have you been blessed? Jesus Christ came into the world to die on that cross to pay the penalty due to you for your sins. He lived a perfect life on your behalf so that not only your sins may be forgiven, but you may receive the gift of His righteousness and made right with God. This is a great blessing. And so you will then hear these words, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." You will be openly acknowledged as blessed of God and acquitted in the day of judgment. Jesus Christ will say to His Father, "Yes, Jane, Bill, Art, Archie, whatever your name happens to be," Jesus Christ will look to His Father and say, "I died for this one. He belongs to you." And all will hear that this is the case, and you will be publicly, openly acknowledged and acquitted before the tribunal of God and enter into glory. And as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, so we will always be with the Lord. Thank you, Father, that this is indeed the case. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? At the resurrection, believers, being raised up in glory, shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed to the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Do you remember how the Catechism begins? What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And at the resurrection, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be changed. And death will have no grip on us. We will rise from the grave and be clothed anew with new bodies, glorious bodies, and we will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air and be ushered into the precincts of heaven. And there we will learn to enjoy the great God of heaven forever and ever. This is the great blessing that you have, and this is the great benefit that you have as a believer in Jesus Christ at the resurrection from the dead. Thanks for listening.